He sat up, rubbing his eyes. From stalking innocent citizens in dark alleys, no doubt. She punched him in the ribs.
Don't be funny. I've put those days behind me. I'm serious, John Tom.
She looked toward the window that punctured the tree wall.
I don't know how you can sleep through that racket anyway. They've been screaming and shouting over there for half an hour. Naturally, now that you're awake, they've stopped.
In the silence that followed, the sound of breaking crockery and muffled oaths drifted across the flowerbed. Talea's face whipped around to stare at him.
Don't tell me you didn't hear that.
Still half asleep, he frowned and pushed the covers forward. I won't, because I did hear it. So they're having a party over there or something. Wouldn't be the first time Clo the Hump's entertained out-of-town visitors. Some sorcerers can get pretty wild when they've had a few.
If it's a party, why weren't we invited? You know how old Shell Drawers likes to show off your music.
So it isn't a party. What if they're friends of Clo the Hump's from far away and they don't want to be disturbed?
I don't care if they're visiting from another planet. I've got a busy day tomorrow and I need my beauty sleep.
Angrily, she put her fists on her hips. This did wonderful things to the rest of her body. He stared at her, sitting there next to him in bed, the moonlight highlighting the shadows and secret places of her body. And his thoughts drifted from the continuing commotion next door. You don't need any beauty sleep. You're perfect already. He reached for her.
Oh, no.
She skittered away from his hands and smiled determinedly at him.
I didn't wake up for that. At least, not right now.
Her expression softened.
Can't you go over there and tell them to keep it down? Even if they are wizards.
Another burst of noise from the turtle's tree punctuated her request. He eyed her longingly for another moment, then turned and slipped from beneath the covers. Winter was loosening its grip reluctantly this year, so he stepped into slippers and a heavy robe. While Clo the Hump could dimensionally expand the interior of a tree to provide its occupants with spacious living quarters, he had yet to figure out a practical way to heat one without burning the tree itself to the ground. Walking to the single bedroom window, he gazed across the sleeping flowers toward the immense ancient oak that the wizard called home. He thought he saw lights flickering inside, but that could be an illusion cast by the dimension spell. If it was a torch or glow bulb, it probably meant that Clo the Hump had caught his famulus in the chemicals again and was chasing him around the tree. He said as much to Talea without turning to face her. If he saw her sitting there naked on the bed, he wouldn't be able to concentrate on anything else. They had been living together for several months, time enough to discover that she was as adept at making love as she had been at picking pockets, the latter a distressing habit he was having a hard time breaking her from. The dimensionally expanded tree had been a present from Clo the Hump, designed, she'd noted sardonically, to make sure John Tom stayed close to his mentor. Clo the Hump wanted John Tom close at hand in case he had any more potentially lethal errands to be run, but that hadn't been reason enough for her to turn the gift down. Clo the Hump's the world's greatest wizard. It's not my place to tell him how to behave. She yanked the heavy quilts back up to her neck.
You need an excuse to stand up to him. Okay. Tell him that your sweet, demure little Talea badgered you unmercifully until you had no choice but to stumble over him. Pretty please ask him to shut his exalted self up. For the rest of the night, at least. As the greatest wizard in the world, I'm sure he can decapitate Sorbel silently. And if it's a party, ask him why we weren't invited.
She sat up abruptly.
You do think that's all it is, don't you?
He glanced back out the window. I don't know. Clo the Hump's almost 300 years old. He can make a lot of enemies in 300 years. I've never known him to be up this late. More breaking sounds drifted across the space between the trees. What if Sorbel's life wasn't the one in danger? Leaving the window, he walked to the rear of the bedroom and opened the large carved armoire that stood there. In addition to clothes, boots, and other personal effects, it contained a small, seamless ramwood chest. He opened it and removed a curious double-stringed instrument from the padded interior.
If you think there's trouble, said Talea, watching him, why don't you take your fighting staff instead?
John Tom cradled the duar against his chest, fiddled with the tuning sweeps. If it's a party, I'd look a pretty fool barging in with weapons. If Clo the Hump's just chasing Sorbel, maybe I can calm him down. And if it's something else, I'll be better off.